UPS is currently hiring package handlers for its preload operation. Earn $13 an hour and receive up to $250 in weekly attendance bonuses while working up to a career as a package car driver. In as little as 6 months, you could have an opportunity to connect with customers and build lasting relationships in the community. Future you looks good in brown. Apply now at upsjobs.com or text brown to 33588. That's brown to 33588.
You've got ants inside the house, mosquitoes outside the house, moles burrowing in your lawn, and termites eating your house from inside out. You're completely surrounded! Luckily, OPC Pest Services has a Four Seasons program that can help. OPC has been providing quality pest services since 1972. Protect your home and property and call OPC Pest Services for a free estimate at 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com. Again, that's 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com.
I don't know what that was. It kind of scared me. I was ready to come back in, and then that little sound happened, and now I'm all thrown
off. I didn't have imaging for you guys. Okay. I'm sorry. So I'll try to get some
that's
made.
Good.
So,
well, hey, that's fine.
Eric you guys
Crawford,
are awesome.
Eric Crawford from WDRB. Perrin Johnson sitting in with me. We are sitting in for Bob Valvano, who is out today. It is his birthday. I'm not disclosing how many years because I don't know.
63.
Really?
Yeah.
He 63. Said he was 33 yesterday.
Well, he's a liar.
63.
I got to keep the man honest.
63. That's good.
He said he gets to celebrate his 21st birthday for the third time.
That's good for him. So we hope he's having a great birthday. We're having fun in here
yes.
talking for him. It is a We Want to Know Wednesday, and I don't, you know.
We Want to Know Wednesday.
Yeah, I don't.
We Want to Know Wednesday. We Want to Know Wednesday.
There we go. There's the fanfare for We Want to Know Wednesday, and I don't have much, but I do know that something I read recently that the average person will spend 4 months of their life. If you ever wonder how long you spend, will spend 4 months of their life sitting at red lights.
Mm.
And I believe it. Some cities more than others. We got it pretty good here in Louisville. Traffic is not too bad. But 4 months of your life, you'll spend sitting at a red light.
I agree with that, especially in Louisville. Like, and here's another thing about people in Louisville. And I grew up driving in Los Angeles. Everybody here drives like they have nowhere to go.
Yeah, there's no hurry.
Yeah, so if it's, I understand the speed limit's 45, and you don't have to do the speed limit, but at least do 40, 38.
Yeah, well, I'm encroaching a little bit on lock territory here, but, you know, to me, the right lane is the new left lane, because people get in that left, and they hit that cruise control at, like, 3 miles per hour with the speed limit, and they just sit there, and you got to pass them on the wrong side.
Yeah.
So that's what it's become.
And then they'll look at you like you're crazy for getting on their tail. Like, just get out the way. Why are you making me slow down, turn off my cruise control to go around you only to turn it back on? Just be a good person and do that.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm not going to get into the whole driving thing, but it is We Want to Know Wednesday. And you can send your We Want to Know Wednesday facts to us via the UPS Jobs text line at 437-9680. We'll be happy to talk about them. And one topic I wanted to get into before we talk about something else, just to make sure I get it in, because I've been a little more outspoken about officiating this year on social media, and not to stir people up, but just because, you know, every night you can watch and see something else crazy. But last night we had it again. Rick Barnes, Tennessee coach, just kind of standing there on the sidelines. I don't know if he's looking at a ref or not, but, Mike Nance, the ref, just comes over and bumps him and then turns and gives him a look as if, you know, it was Barnes's fault. And that's just the kind of attitude that drives people nuts when they see refs, you know, trying to be the tough guy in some of these situations. It's frustrating.
I don't understand why, and I've officiated before in my past. I don't understand why he walked all the way over there that close to his, in terms of proximity to him, for that to even take place. Being an official, you try to be proactive rather than reactive. So if you're proactive rather than reactive, you typically do things where to avoid those type of scenarios. Like, why do you give a technical foul so things don't escalate and you don't have a Kansas State situation? Stuff like that. So for me, my biggest question is, why'd he walk all the way over there in that space? And nine times out of ten, people are going to side with the coach anyway. So as an official,
yeah,
you want to take the bullets out the gun and never put yourself in those type of scenarios. So yeah. I don't understand why he walked that close to him in the first place.
I have refereed games when I was in college. When I umpired games, I was Little League umpire, Babe Ruth League, whatever. And I know it's very difficult. And I don't want to belittle what these guys do, although they're making a lot of money to do it at mm-hmm. the college level the time we watch them. You want to see bad officiating, you watch women's games. You know, just stuff happens. It's basic and elementary. They'll give the ball to a shooter, shoot a free throw, and then take it back, or just little crazy stuff like that, in addition to whatever calls are made. And then you go to Division II, it's even worse than that. So, you know, it's all relative. But just every night to have something that you're looking at and just shaking your head. Rick Barnes talked about his response from when he got bumped last night, and we will effort to get that sound. Nick's working on it. I got the thumbs up. Let's hear what he had to say.
Video circulating of an official, I guess Nance, walking to the monitor and kind of bumping you on the way by. What happened there?
You know, Coach Knight told me a long time ago in a game, he told me that officials are going to miss 7 to 9, 10, 11, 12 calls, and he kept one up every year. He says you just hope things aren't egregious at any point in time, but you know what? I really have a lot of confidence in the SEC office that they're going to look at that, and I believe they'll look at this game and take it apart. And because again, I think they'll do that, and it shouldn't happen. It shouldn't happen in any way, shape, or form. But I like to say what I want to say, but I won't, because again, I just trust the SEC office will do the right thing.
Rick, only 2 minutes for Euros tonight. Was that just a strategic decision, or did you not like?
We'll put it down after the playing time question comes to him. I've not seen anything. I don't know if the SEC office has done anything yet. I'm not seeing it anywhere. But, again, if you're taking your advice on how to deal with officiating from Bob Knight, that also can be a problem. So I
would that would definitely be one. If you watch the video, I don't understand why – you walk into him that way. I don't understand why he would walk. I try to avoid stuff like that. I would walk around Coach Barnes. He totally he hit him. I don't know if he did it intentionally, but he sure did give him a little bit of a shoulder. And it's just not a good look. I don't understand it, and it makes no sense. It just really makes no sense why you put yourself in that situation.
Yeah, we got a lot of texts here, some of which I'm not going to read because I don't understand the context. And I don't know sometimes if I'm reading something I shouldn't read, so you got to be careful. This one I'll take. Eric's radio voice is made for like a 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. R&B show, slow jam show. Soothing sounds of Eric Crawford.
101,
that might,
the
that
wave.
That may be my podcast. that could be it. Everybody's got a podcast, so that might be my niche. I like to do a hit like do the podcast, but just have whoever's with me, they have to be eating as hot of wings as there are available. But then that's a video thing. You don't just want sound on that. You gotta have the conversation and both of you be eating the wings. I think that's a thought. Did you know
smooth jazz and hot wings?
Smooth jazz and hot wings.
I'd listen.
I can see. I can
a lot
see.
Of people would listen.
Coltrane and some wings like that
yeah.
would be.
Yeah, let's go.
That would be it.
Yeah. And for our next number, we wanted a Wednesday nominee. Do you know that UK in the Calipari era is 10-0 when committing 20-plus turnovers? And 9-1 when making one or fewer three-pointers.
I did not know that. I feel like we need some wings now.
Yeah, a little smooth jazz right
there. We've got smooth jazz. The programming changes happened.
If you asked for it, you got it.
There you go. Don't anybody look in your mailboxes. There may be some notices in there. Goodness. John Calipari. So what Kentucky needs to do is just throw the ball away a bunch and stop shooting threes.
So, I mean, it sounds like a sound plan. Like, just shoot inside the paint and just toss it in the stands a couple times. You know, throw a couple lobs and hit the shot clock and see where you get.
Yeah. Kentucky has Vanderbilt tonight at 6:30. We have talked some about that game, and I don't think the game itself bears much breaking down. But as we look at Kentucky, quickly has shot the ball better. Mm-hmm. So he's starting to solidify. Ashton Hagans, we know, is really good. Nick Richards, the last four games, has been unbelievable. And if he plays that way going forward, they're going to be tough to handle. They've got Nate Cestina. You know, Tyrese Maxey's really good. Are there any more pieces they need to come into play? Keon Brooks is kind of a role player. Johnny Juzang's getting more time. Is there anything for them that can start clicking that you start to say, wow, that's a team that can get to the Final Four?
EJ Montgomery.
Yeah.
If he can play like he was playing at the end of the season last year, toward down the stretch of this season, I think that'll be the case. You say to yourself, you know, he put his name in the draft, he got feedback, and then took his name out the draft. So typically when guys get feedback, they become back to school and they become better. Kentucky fans just saw that recently with P.J. Washington. So when you think EJ goes to get his feedback, he's going to have another year similar to like development and growth that P.J. had. Not to that same extent, but something along those lines. And that was not the case. He's been very inconsistent. He's had times and shown spurts of good defense like he did at the end of that Texas Tech game. But for the most part, you know, he's the guy, the wild card, in my opinion, that needs them to turn the corner. We've seen Nate Sistine have good games. Obviously, Tyrese Maxey's had good games. Emmanuel Quigley's have good games. Ashton Higgins leads the SEC in steals and assists. That speaks volumes in itself. So for me, I think EJ Montgomery is that next piece for them to take this team to the next level. If he can turn the corner and be a guy that can give them 10 points and 8 to 6 rebounds and consistent hard effort, I think they'll be a whole nother team and a whole nother problem.
More from the UPS Jobs text line. It is at 437-9680. If you want to weigh in, Coltrane is not smooth jazz, texter says.
Oh. It depends on which Coltrane song you listen to. I was just throwing it out there for just an example, but thank you.
More from the UBS Jobs text line. How insufferable is Bozich's White Sox fanhood? We know who Perrin's team is. Eric, who's yours? I'll tell you that. Bozich is. The one thing I like about Bozich's White Sox fanhood, he is absolutely irrational about the White Sox, anything to do with that, as any Louisville or Kentucky fan is about Louisville fans. So, you know, you can say what you want. He can lose it with the White Sox faster than, you know, any UK or U of L fan could lose it about the Cats or the Cards. So I like that. I like that's there. I don't have that. I don't think I've got that for any team that I would like outside. My team is the Reds, and the Reds are doing well. They're having a good offseason. So yeah. We'll see if that actually – I've heard of good offseason before. I'm still withholding judgment on what we're going to see. I watch Auburn coach, this is from the text line, UPS text line, 437-9680. Auburn coach Bruce Pearl live outside the coach's box every game and never get teed up, but Cal gets warned or teed up every game. The inconsistency of officiating is absurd. I think a lot of the Cal coaching box is not coaching box. It's like they're right up to the edge of tired of hearing from you. And if you're out of the coaching box and they've had it, that's what you get. Yeah. But I don't think it's the coaching box itself.
I don't think Cal gets warnings because he's outside the coaching box. I think Cal gets warnings because what he's saying when he's outside the coaching box. When I've done high school games, I've done, you know, AAU games. I don't care about somebody being at the coaching box. Just don't talk. If you're coaching and you're outside the coaching box, that's fine. You're not talking to me, but if you're telling me how to do my job and you're outside the box, I'm going to do what's in the rules that I have at my disposal to put you in your place so you'll shut up. And that's what you're seeing. I don't think it's a necessary thing that people are mad at Cal, but nobody – you're not going to – and you know what he says. I mean, you can read his lips. You're not going to say all that to me and be outside your box. No chance. And Bruce Pearl yells at guys, but Bruce Pearl yells a lot more at his players than officials. So that's why you see Cal get whacked being at the coaching box more so than Bruce Pearl, because Cal gets on the officials outside the box and that, you know, they're going to get him back in the box.
And Bruce is also, he kind of does what Pitino was able to do. Pitino would like just go after a guy, but he would know right where the edge was. And then the ref would respond and Pitino would go, okay. Like, oh, okay, you're right. Yeah. He makes his point and then he's able to retreat. And Bruce is pretty good with that, where he'll just come at him just firing on all cylinders, and the guy will say one thing and he'd be like, all right, that's good, and sit back down and then come at him again the next time.
Yeah.
But you got to have a little art to it. I don't know what Cal, you know, I haven't had as much chance to be close to him during a game to kind of see how it goes.
Yeah.
I was right behind him when Louisville played Kentucky in the Final Four. I was right behind the bench. Mm-hmm. And that was an interesting experience to kind of see how he went about that. But I can't remember if it was the Zach game or the championship game where Anthony Davis went out with a contact lens or something for like a minute. And the whole time he's out, Cal's just over there, get him back in, get him back in, get him back in, get him back in. Didn't even watch the game. Get him back in. And, you know, I guess when you look back at it in retrospect, that was the most important thing that needed to happen on that bench, is get Anthony Davis back out on the floor.
Yeah. I tell you what, we played Marquette at Freedom Hall. And you remember the young man they had, Dominique James?
Yes.
And Dominique James came down and hit a couple threes and forced the game in overtime. And there were a couple calls down the stretch that Coach Pitino didn't like. So the game's going into overtime, and we're in the huddle, and Coach Pitino tells Andre McGee, I know it's not everybody's favorite person, and he tells Tyquan Dean, you tell that ref, if we lose this game, I'm going to kill him. That's what he said. So now they nod their head in agreement,
yeah,
and they go over there and they talk to him.
Yeah.
Now, I can't hear what's being said because, you know, it's an overtime game. People are up, standing up, cheering, whatever. So after the game's over, we go back to the locker room. And I ask Tyquan, and I go, did you tell the referee that Coach Pitino said he was going to kill him if we lost? He said, hell no. I didn't tell him that. He goes, that might be a call I don't get. He said, so I said nothing. I just went over there and had a conversation to ask him if he's ready to do 5 more minutes.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's just kind of funny, like those stories that I hear. I mean, you know, coaches say all types of things to players. Bob Huggins used to give it to the refs, but he used to give it to his guys more than he gave it to the refs.
So yeah.
He still does to this day.
Yeah, I always wonder what happens when a coach sends a player out to talk to a ref, what the player really says. The player comes out and says, hey, I'm just nod your head. I'm just out here talking to you. Let's not worry about it. I always wonder how that works. But anyway, one more question from the UPS jobs text line. 437-9680. EC is all well in the health front. You gave us a scare last year. It's actually the last year is September of the year before. Everything's good. I'm good. I need to lose, you know, probably about 30 pounds, but that's an ongoing struggle. So, but
friends at Vitality got your back.
All has been good. Thank you. I walked right into that plug. If I had a read here, you know, it would have been good. I could have done it, but you know, I can't. My left hand is not as good, so you know. I'm not as ambidextrous as I used to be, but that's about it. So, nice question. Thank you for asking and for everybody that always checks up on me on that score. U of L tonight at Boston College, Kentucky at Vanderbilt, and I think what we'll do is get to a break. We'll come back and do a little bit more of this. We'll get a little bit more of your We Wanted a Wednesday, if you got anything, and talk a little bit more sports. I'm out of here at 2 o'clock to go do my other job, which I don't think there's anything more to do there than what we had here. We'll do that. So yes. Let's go. But you're listening to Eric Crawford with Perrin Johnson on ESPN 680 in the V Show. Back on the V Show, Eric Crawford, Perrin Johnson. That's not smooth jazz either. That's swing. So
right.
I'm out.
Speaking of big band, well, not even big band. Last night I saw a band that was fabulous. And they're more of like a funk band, I guess, but this band called Lettuce. I've heard tons of good things about them. They were at the Mercury Ballroom last night. So after my hockey game, after my team got eliminated from the playoffs, we went to go check them out. And they were Grammy nominated. They were at the Grammys for Best Instrumental Album. Didn't win, but were nominated, and they flew back from there, and this is their first show post-Grammys.
Awesome.
At the Mercury Ballroom. It was fabulous. I'm not sure if that was a good segue to work it in there, but Lettuce.
Well.
Very, very good.
I'm going to lump that under We Wanted a Wednesday.
There you go. We Wanted a Wednesday.
Now we know that. We had one other text on the UPS jobs text line, 437-9680, about We Wanted a Wednesday, and it is that at least one country celebrates its independence from Great Britain on 52 days during the year. So that's a lot of countries
that that's a whole broken lot of out. Countries.
The British Empire was a big one. That's so it. There's a lot of celebrations going on. Other texts that came in during the off time. one of the reasons that makes the Big Ten so good during the regular season is another reason that they don't do well in the tourney. Physical games don't translate when you have different refs in the NCAA tournament. We saw that a little bit in the Big East, although it never seemed to keep the Big East from having their fair share of teams in the Elite Eight and Final Four.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know who the – I mean, the Big Ten is unquestionably tough, but how tough are they at tournament time? And they, you know, they've had some good years. Is this another year where they have a lot of success?
Yeah, I like a couple teams in the Big Ten. I think Michigan State always plays such a tough schedule that they're battle-tested by the time the end of the year comes. Michigan, I thought, was going to be a lot more than what they were, and they're killing us on our regard with that win on our schedule. I also think that nobody's talking about it. We were talking about it before the show started. I can't believe Rutgers is in the top 25.
Yeah.
Rutgers,
all those years are going up there.
And, man, the racket. It's
yeah.
an interesting building when you see it from the outside. But Rutgers is up there. Maryland's been a tough team all year. They've been pretty consistent as well. And then when you look at State, and then Wisconsin's not an easy out. There's a lot of, and Penn State's been balling as well. There's a lot of good teams in that conference.
Yeah, that, you know, and it's, again, bracketology is what it is. It's just somebody's guess at this point. We'll get, you know, actual matchups. But like Lenardi had Maryland against Stephen F. Austin to open. And Maryland should beat them, but that's, you know, that's again a game. How up are their guys? How up would a group of Maryland guys be to play Stephen F. Austin?
Yeah,
it's just you don't know.
No,
and with the margins not what they usually are, it could be more of a toss up this year than ever.
I think if they didn't beat Duke, I think I'd worry a lot if I was Maryland. But since you know they can capable of playing with you at a high level, I think they'll take them a little bit more seriously. But you know, this is going to be one of those years where you're going to see a lot of blue bloods not be where you think they are. Or they're going to make the tournament and they're going to lose to somebody that you've never heard of. And it's going to be a lot of that. And I'm really eager to see what that is going to be. I was wondering how Evansville was going to do down this stretch of things. But now that they fire Walter McCarty there, they're spiraling downhill as well. So, I mean, there's a lot of things that I want to see this year. But more importantly, I think the Big Ten is going to be – they got a lot of teams that are battle-tested. So, like, can Ohio State get healthy? I don't know if they're going to be able to get healthy. I think that's something else to pay attention to as well.
Yeah, they'll get their share of teams in. It's just going to be a question of what kind of shape they are when they get in there. I want to talk about one Louisville player who really haven't talked about today. We're all paying attention to David Johnson because he's playing well and he's a freshman. He's from Louisville and he's kind of new.
Yeah.
Darius Perry just probably had his best game of his career at Louisville. He was 9-for-12 from the field. I think he finished with 19 points. Got a lot of praise after the game from Chris Mack. You know, he's been kind of two steps forward and then maybe backing up a little bit during the year. Is he a guy who could be a factor for Louisville going forward?
I think he is a factor. I think the thing with him is how consistent can he be? I remember one game, people were like, I didn't like the way Darius Perry played, and it was like his first turnover in four games one game not too long ago. So Darius has been doing a good job, but I think it's a culmination of two things. I think the first thing is that David being from Louisville, Louisville always wants to root for the hometown guy. So I think so David being what he's done and being the energy plug that he's been to this roster, I think people just love that about him for sure. The other thing of that is I think – Darius is, in my full opinion, when you have to change your game, it takes a year to two full years for you to change your game. And you know this, obviously. Darius came in here as a guy that was going to be a ball hawk, pick you up full court, you know, a defensive monster, get in the lane and wreak havoc, get to the hole, an up-and-down kind of guy. And that's not the way we play here. So he's going through another phase of changing his game, and there's going to be growing pains with that, and there's going to be times where he does everything really well. And I think Darius has played really well changing his game in the last year and a half. I know last year was a little bit of a struggle, but, you know, like people like Derrick Rose. Derrick Rose was a guy that went to the hole with reckless abandonment. Now he's a guy that pulls up off the pick and roll and takes a 17-footer.
Yeah.
So that's what you're seeing with Darius. He's changing his game, and he's still evolving into a better basketball player and a more complete one, and I'm really happy with the way he's been playing.
Yeah, Chris Mack described him as a 180, and we will hear what he said. But, yeah, Perry had 19 points against Clemson and 7-12 in the field. He had 5 rebounds. He had an assist. He did not turn the ball over. He played 27 minutes. And this is not a flawed stat sometimes, but the plus minus when Darius was on the court was zero. They played Clemson even in those 27 minutes when he was on the court. It just shows you how strange the stat is. Ryan McMahon played 13 minutes and they're plus 16. It just depends on when the runs come as to how your plus minus winds up. But so Perry's a factor. It's just hard to see. You just don't know what game, how much he's going to play one game versus the next, how effective he's going to be one game versus the next. What I do think he does is he can put pressure on the ball defensively, and I think that's valuable for Louisville because sometimes defensively they look a little stationary. Even though they're playing that pack line, trying to contain everybody, Perry is able to get up and get some ball pressure, I think, sometimes, and that's something they need. But let's hear what Chris Mack said about Perry this year versus Perry when he got here.
He hasn't let his practice habits be defined by his, you know, the results in the game, or maybe lack of playing time in certain games, determine his outlook, or his preparation, or his practice attitude, and that's been incredible. It's been awesome for our team. It's a 180 from a year ago, and good things generally happen to guys that really put in the time and keep having the right attitude. And that's exactly what I've seen with Darius. And so I'm really happy for him. And, our team needs him to continue to be consistent and, be a guy that we can count on whether he's playing the one or the two.
All right. So Darius Perry, again, while we talk about David Johnson and all that, he's a guy that could be somebody that is a game changer. I thought, the year Louisville won the title, they're not in a position to do that unless, Rick figures out Kevin Ware and what to do with him. And he really came on down the stretch and is a guy that did some things. And maybe Darius Perry, if he can become, more of a presence than he was in some of these games where he struggled, I think he could be a guy that we're talking more about as they get ready for a run.
Oh, for sure. I mean, last year, Darius had 50 assists. This year, the season's not even over and he already has 67.
Yeah.
That's improvement in itself right there. When you look at what he's done, I think he's done a tremendous job. Last year he shot 37% from three. He's shooting 41% this year. A lot of that stuff is getting overlooked. I think a lot of the things you pay attention to are some of the things we're not paying attention to enough. He's got a 2-to-1 assist to turnover ratio this year. Last year it was 1.3-to-1. So, I mean, he's improved.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's in the strides or what people want because – I think, and I'll say this once and I say it again, we are a spoiled fan base here. You had Peyton Siva.
Yeah.
That was tremendous. You had a Russ Smith. Tremendous. You can go back to the Denny Crum days, LeBradford Smith, who leads the school in assists still to this day. We've had tremendous talent here. DeJuan Wheat. The list goes on. So a lot of people have those type of expectations around here, and everybody's not going to be a superstar like that, but they can be a very, very good key contributor, and I think Darius is a key contributor. I mean, his point total his freshman year was 3.9. Last year it was 5.4. This year it's 6.1.
Yeah.
He's improved every year, and that's what you want in a player. I don't know how much more you can ask for him outside of those things.
Even a year that Louisville fans would think of as a down year, he had like a Preston Knowles, who was really, he was really good, did a great job. So it's that. More from the UPS Jobs text line. The plus-minus stat is the most bogus stat in basketball. I'll give you that. I prefer the plus-minus stat on lineups, but I just threw that out there with Darius. Did you see the pics of how much Bruce Pearl sweat through his jacket last night? How is that humanly possible? He was sweating through, like, the top of the jacket. Not the shoulder part, not even the armpit part. I could see sweating through the armpit part, but the shoulder. I mean, I don't know what's. I mean, and I love Bruce. I've got a history with Bruce. I covered him way back when he was a Division II coach at Southern Indiana,
GLVC,
before anybody
baby.
Even knew who he was. I covered a big upset of Bob Valvano's Bellarmine team against one of Bruce's USI teams. I was there. But so I like Bruce. I've known him his whole career. A lot of it. But man, yeah, he sweats. He needs to check and see what I don't know what material he's got. But he's pretty intense over there.
It's called hyperhidrosis, actually.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, because I think I have a low grade version of that. Because I would, grade. Yeah, I asked the doctor. I was like, "Why am I so sweaty all the time? Like during warm ups, I have to change shirts." And my coach actually, like, I used to run cross country, believe it or not. And my coach was like, "You stick your head under, like you're trying to cool down." I was like, "No, this is just we jogged the mile, and this is what I look like." He's like, "You got to be blanketing me." And no, it's called hyperhidrosis. Who's sweatier, by the way, Bruce Weber or Buzz Williams? and a sweat off.
Oh gosh, I don't know. I've watched, you know, I've watched Buzz a little more than I have Bruce. It's been I covered Bruce early in his career in the Missouri Valley Conference. I don't remember him being that sweaty, but
that's what maybe Power Six will do.
Maybe if the stakes have gone up, you know, this is an issue that we need to work out if we're going to put cameras in these studios to try and, you know, simulcast this stuff. You know, Nick is going to have to, you know, he's going to have to figure out, you know, how do you mask this or how does it work?
That's a good point. If we have cameras and the lights, I mean, you're on TV, you know how it is.
Like, yeah,
I mean,
it's hot.
Yeah,
yeah, they do.
It gets hot.
My hyperhidrosis
it changes
will flare
the game.
Up.
You'll have to figure out some stuff. I mean, we got to put more stuff on the walls.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, decorate. You know, does your dad have? I know he's got bobbleheads. Oh, he could probably do it.
We're lousy with bobbleheads up in here.
I could. I don't have it. I don't have enough stuff to put on to do that.
If you ever need some bobbleheads, man, we'll be happy to run some down. We don't have. We might have one White Sox one. Maybe.
I don't care about
Bobby Abreu Jr. I think we might have one for Bozich.
Yeah, but Bozich, that would be required to get him to come in here. So there's that. This is what we get down to. It's this and the sink thing. And I like this better than the sink thing.
I cleaned everything.
Like, I feel like, you know, I got to come in here and, like, get the show back to a baseline, you know, after that. Because Locke was pretty fired up today about a lot of things. So we got to return it to baseline. And then Andy will come in and mix it all up again, and it'll all be back for nothing.
The V-Show is kind of like the Take/Midday Rush anti-venom. You need it. Like, we're, you need like a palate cleanse. Exactly.
We're like, everybody sit down, you know, listen to some jazz, take it easy, and don't get upset. The sink is clean. I know I'm not going to say I would have washed my hands in that sink if I'd known what had happened there, but I did. You know, nothing I can do about it.
Tell you, that thing was cleaner when I left it than when I walked in.
The coronavirus and all this stuff going on, killer virus, whatever, and, you know, this stuff is happening.
Hey, it'll keep your immune system stronger.
I wash my hands all the time, and I hate my biggest pet peeve around here that people do. I'm not going to say who does it, but...
No, please do, because I'm getting a lot of flack.
No, it's not you. It's not you. I'm not going to say any names, but there are people around here that will... not wash their hands and then put their hands all in like a canister of something that you have that is like candy or peanuts or whatever. So I make sure that when I have things, I just keep them on my person or I keep them in like a bag or something, because I just think it just drives me crazy that people don't wash their hands. And then you wonder why you have the coronavirus and all these things that are people having problems with, like Hep A and all this crap, because people aren't washing their hands anymore, and it's scary.
Did you see that they canceled two Miami of Ohio basketball
games? I'm a little surprised
games?
That hasn't gotten more play.
Yeah.
And that's not that far down the road.
No,
but,
not at all.
Yeah, they canceled the men's game last night. They canceled women's games tonight. I don't know. I didn't watch the press conference. I'm not that far into it yet to be worried about it. But they apparently had some students traveling back from China. And I don't think they tested positive for the virus, or they've been diagnosed with it, but they were just being overly safe, which I'm okay with. You know, let's be overly
safe. Better
safe
than sorry, yeah. Keep this. Nuke this thing.
I have read that a lot of people are wearing masks. If you're flying anywhere, they're wearing, but they say that wearing a mask doesn't do you any good.
No.
So there's no real need to go out and buy a bunch of masks or anything.
Why is it named after a beer? Do you get it from wines or something like
that? Here's the deal. The coronavirus is a type of virus. So that's not the name of it. It's just because, like, remember that SARS virus that they had in China?
Right.
That was a coronavirus or whatever. But this thing was like, it was in the city of Wuhan, China. Well, Wuhan virus, I don't know. Is that I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if the name's not scary enough or what.
And the city doesn't want their virus named after them either, you can imagine.
I'll tell you what's impressive is that China is like, then. Of course, you're a totalitarian regime, you can do whatever you want, but they're like building a new 1,100 bed hospital in a week. That's how fast they can go. It doesn't matter.
That is efficient.
Because, you know, you can throw your whole population of the city into building it or whatever, I guess. I don't know. I don't know what's going on.
They got 6,000 cases over there right now with that.
And that's what we know about. I watched Chernobyl on HBO. I know that all that stuff's not, all those numbers are fake.
And then the other thing is that, you know, there are a lot of American players that play in China.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that is kind of creepy. And then the other thing about that is Hong Kong is the epicenter for trading in Chinese markets and so forth. So there's a little things to be worried about with this.
There's an economic impact. And I know there was a flight, the rescue flight. They basically put one together out of that city to come back to the U.S. And it was changed, I think, from coming to LAX to some military base just out of a precaution. And so they and they stopped in Alaska on the way to test everybody there before they even brought them down. So they're doing some pretty significant things. I just don't feel like it's gotten a lot of I think it's gotten attention, but I think maybe some other things are happening in the news that are, you know, you got impeachment and all that other stuff that we won't get into.
And Kobe, there's still a lot of Kobe
and there's a lot of and honestly, this Kobe Bryant thing is also, I mean, it's as big a high profile death as I can remember in terms of impact that it's had on people. So that's it. Texter says coronavirus because Chinese people are risky and eat crazy animals that aren't meant to be food, like bats. I don't know what's meant to be food and not be food, but it was an animal-borne virus.
If it tastes good, I'm probably going to eat it.
I mean,
it's vitality friendly.
I'm not going to try a bat. I got to look at the cholesterol and sodium and all that. But
yeah, I think that's the thing where people say stuff like that, and you're going to eat McDonald's here because McDonald's is common, and you're in America. Like, people in China eat what they have access to. You don't eat stuff because you necessarily always want it. You eat stuff because a part of you wants it, but what you have access to. So
yeah. I would imagine actually a bat is way healthier than a McRib or something like that. I mean, I love a McRib. Don't get me wrong. It's delicious.
I've said this a million times and people think I'm crazy. If you saw a cow, a full-grown cow in a foreign country, you would think it was a calf. Because the cows over here, they look like a double wide, and a cow in a foreign country, doesn't have all that crap pumped into it. So I could go on for days. That's why you got to be careful with what you eat, but I'm not going to go down that road.
I mean, it's whoever looks at an animal and thinks, well, let's kill that and eat it. I mean, who's the first guy to do that? Really? I don't know. Let's make a burger out of this thing. See what it's like. No. I don't know. I don't know how it works. What do you segue to out of that anyway? Where do we go from there? How do we get back to basketball when we're talking about viruses and food
to think. All right,
this is not exactly a good, you know, restaurant. It's a good thing we don't have a restaurant sponsor to pitch right now. We would need to go to something else and then bounce back.
I do have one, but I'll wait a little while.
Yeah, I know. I wouldn't go right off of this. I would not bounce to that right off of this. We can go to something else. Well, we're getting to time to wrap up the hour here pretty soon, but what did you got?
My segue was going to be, you know, it's a safe food to eat no matter what. Beans. Where do they have beans? Boston. Hey, U of L plays Boston College. Tonight.
There you go. Beans.
Boom. You know what else is healthy? Chestnuts. Hey, they're in Chestnut Hill. Yay.
That's good. That's good.
I got your back, Eric.
Unfortunately, where we land back is U of L Boston College, which is not a game that's really thrilling.
That's a good point.
Will finish here because it is the game tonight, and Kentucky Vanderbilt, which is even less of a game. I don't think Kentucky does anything. I don't know what are we going to be talking about tomorrow if we start talking about Louisville Boston College. What's going to be the storyline in this thing? There's really no huge talker unless Louisville goes up there and loses, but I don't think they will.
I don't think they will. You know, Boston College, even though they're getting healthy, those guys haven't played together yet. So I think we should win this game. I expect a good showing out of Jordan Wara to get back off track.
Yeah.
He hasn't been scoring a ton the last two games, but I think that's a good thing. And I'll get into that. But I think I want to see David and Malik to keep getting in better shape. And I think with the emergence of David Johnson, it's allowed Chris Mack and this staff to cut down on the minutes for Ryan McMahon and Darius Perry, and which has forced them to be more effective in less minutes, but also kept them fresh as we go further down the season.
Yeah.
So, but the reason why I said I'm kind of happy that Jordan hasn't been scoring a ton, not because he doesn't deserve to score as many points as he's capable of. When we talked about Louisville's depth being a thing to pay attention to, and I think when you can lean on other guys to score for you outside of one guy, it makes you a problem. When you look at Kentucky, for example, Quickly can score, Maxey can score, Nick Richards has been playing out of his mind. And then, you know, Ashton Hagens is a facilitator, but he can also score too. So you never know where their points are going to come from that night outside of certain, like Nick Richards is going to get a double-double, but how many points in his double-double is he going to get? I think we have a good problem right now. And I look for Jordan to get back on track and score somewhere around 16 to 18. But more importantly, the other guys to come around and emerge as well and build in this game.
Yeah.
So maybe we see Aiden Gahan get 10 minutes tonight. That's something that we'd like to
and
see.
And I think Aiden was probably, I mean, he might have gone on the court at Duke with the foul trouble, some of the foul trouble, if he hadn't been sick. I don't know if I'm imagining this or if you think it's a real thing, but I kind of feel like since Johnson has kind of come in and is playing better, that Williamson is playing better too. It kind of gave him a little bit of a new start because I think his confidence might have been down. But I thought he played really well this last game. He's kind of an all-around game, grabbing rebounds, scored some. I think he looks better than he has all season right now.
Yeah, no, I think you're 100% right with that. I think it's a culmination of things. Some people said he needs to play Williamson more. In the first 5 to 6 games of the year, he played him 20-plus minutes.
Yeah, he's played plenty.
And then he didn't play him for a while, and now Chris Mack is going back to him. I think what we're seeing is growing pains. Freshmen are very inconsistent. And, you know, obviously Williamson played a lot of minutes early, didn't play a lot, and now he's playing again. I think he's figured it out, and he's going against Dwayne Sutton and Jordan every day in practice. So I think he's polishing himself up, and he's getting better. And we need him to be better because next year, I think when you look at who's coming in here next year, I think David and Samuel Williamson are guys we're going to have to lean on.
Yeah, he's going to be a leader.
Especially with Darius Perry being a senior. So you're going to need all those guys to play well together. You know, Darius at the 1, David at the 2, and Samuel Williamson at the 3. Because I really don't see Jordan. I think Jordan's going to go. He's going to have a good banner year for a junior. And then he's got the Olympics on his mind as well. So I think Jordan's out of here. So I think if you're Samuel Williamson, you got to show the people out here in the coaching staff what you're capable of being. You are McDonald's All-American for a reason. Let's show the world what you're capable of and be the guy that you think we all think you can be.
Yeah, and I think that's what's got a chance to make this second half a lot more exciting than the first half, if you're Louisville. If Williamson really starts to step into that role a little bit, if Johnson keeps getting better, that's your Louisville side. And, of course, Kentucky's got a bunch of freshmen, that any one of whom could kind of be a game changer if he were to kind of blossom down the stretch. So, so I think we got a chance to have this second half be a little more interesting than the first.
Yeah, I think it will be because I think David hasn't played. You got to remember how many games David's missed. So all the games that David is playing right now, they have a lot of value because he's being thrown to the fire, and that really matters a ton. And I'm excited about it because I don't know this yet, and we'll see how much David improves his jumper over the summer. But if David plays like he played against Duke, and he can do that consistently next year, you're talking about a guy that might be a two-and-done player under Coach Mack.
Yeah, yeah. No, he's on that Donovan Mitchell track to kind of step up that second year and be gone.
And so I think Louisville fans are salivating because we want somebody. When you watch Donovan and you see everything that Donovan is in the NBA, you want to say to yourself, that guy didn't even scratch the surface when he was here.
Yeah, no.
So you want to see somebody tap into the surface of their value while we have them here. Like, we got to tap into the surface of what Lamar was.
Yeah.
We got to do that as a fan base. Now, the question is, can Louisville do that with a basketball player? I don't know. I can't think of a guy that really tapped into his potential. T. Will, I felt like, did that. I felt like Earl Clark did that. I think David Paget did a lot of that. And people, and still to this day, I don't care what anybody says, David Paget was so much better in high school. I wish David never had any knee injuries because the David Paget that I got to see in high school play, David used to bring the ball up court. I mean, Eric, I'm telling you, he used to bring the ball up court. Yeah. He used to dribble between his legs.
Yeah.
He played on one of the greatest AAU teams I've ever seen. They had Brad Buckman. They had C.J. Watson, who played at Tennessee. Brad Buckman played at Texas. They had David. They had one of the best teams ever. David used to bring the ball up court sometimes. Not all the time, but at 6'11". Like, that was impressive. I used to love watching. They used to play with the Pump Brothers. Pump and Run was their team.
Yeah. That team that lost to North Carolina.
Yes.
In the regional there in Charlotte. I always thought that was Pitino's best team until I saw the championship team. They were really good. Wasn't any way they're going to beat North Carolina in that game. But you know, you got Earl and T. Will and all those guys. Yes. That was a really good group.
They didn't have any flaws. They just had one of those games where like a perfect storm and everything, the stars lined up, and they just didn't shoot the ball well, and the other team shot the ball great, and they lost that game to Michigan State that year. Also, that was besides the Carolina year, but
Donovan's best stretch here at Louisville, I think, was those stretch where Quentin Snyder was hurt, and he had to play point guard. And then all of a sudden, the ball's in his hand all the time, and you see him start driving, just going into the lane at will. And that was an impressive stretch. And I always had wondered what would happen if he had just been shifted over, you know, Rick wasn't going to take the ball away from Quentin, but if Donovan had just if he'd had the ball in his hands the rest of the way, how far he might have just taken him. But
yeah.
But David Johnson's going to be a guy with the ball in his hand. I mean, he's going to have that opportunity to, you know, come off ball screens, drive, do all that stuff, and do it a lot.
And he reminds you of the Denny days when we had big guards.
Big guards, Lancaster, Gordon, and those guys. Yeah, yeah, very much so.
So I know the older regime of fans really got to love that as well because they haven't seen that in a while.
Yeah, no, it's good. And he's from here, and he's got NBA talent from here. And that'll be fun to watch. And we're done for the hour. How about that? Went by fast.
Thank you, Mr. Crawford.
Yes, thank you, guys. I don't know who's coming in here after me.
Me and PJ. We're going to have a little We Want to Know Wednesday.
You're going to do a little We Want to Know Wednesday.
Thomas. Yeah, we'll,
good deal.
We're
gonna it's always a pleasure to sit in for Bob. Pleasure to sit across from Perrin and to work with the inimitable Nick Valvano.
Oh, shucks.
And thanks, guys. And come back for the next hour. You're listening to The V-Show. Eric Crawford and Perrin Johnson, ESPN 680.
You've got ants inside the house, mosquitoes outside the house, moles burrowing in your lawn, and termites eating your house from inside out. You're completely surrounded! Luckily, OPC Pest Services has a Four Seasons program that can help. OPC has been providing quality pest services since 1972. Protect your home and property and call OPC Pest Services for a free estimate at 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com. Again, that's 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com.
With UPS, future you gets seriously pumped. As a package handler, you'll have a great job this season. Make up to $20 per hour after bonuses for a 25-hour work week. Future you goes further than you imagine. Find out what you'll become at upsjobs.com.